too, and that we don't shut our brains down and stop listening, that we just hear everything that comes out of his mouth, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, as usual, the things that have already been spoken, that we've sung, that, you know, God, I hope, is going to really confirm some things to us again and create in us and enliven us to have a spirit of faith for what's going to be spoken. And the message really is, I guess I would title it Perfect Faith. Okay? Perfect Faith. The word perfect in this instance means complete. I'll be reading a scripture that talks about that. That we have a faith that is perfect, is completed. And I hope that we really grab a hold of this message, because like what's all been said up to this point, there is a great shaking going on in the world. There's a great shaking that therefore, because it's in the world, and the world impinges on us, that we are going to be affected by that shaking. And it's so good that we can read in the Word of God that it says that God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. But since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, you know, we're to give gratitude and awe and thankfulness to God, because this is what He's giving us. And when our focus gets off of what God is doing and has already done in a particular aspect in us, and our focus gets on the world, which is real easy for us to do, then these things can really become a concern. Now, faith, let's see if we can talk a little bit about faith. I know you know things about faith, so let's just talk about it. What are some things, because of the Word of God, that you can say you know about what faith is? What do we mean when we say faith?
Faith comes from
belief in God. Faith comes by hearing. Okay, good. And hearing from the Word of God. I'm going to go over all of these things, but I want to just kind of push it all up to the surface here from you guys.
Trust.
Anything else?
Trust.
Faith means that you're trusting. Okay, good. Anything else that you can tell me about faith? Say it. Believing. It's believing, right? You believe. You have faith for something. You trust God. You believe in God, and so you put your trust in God. Anything else you can say? Tell me about faith.
It doesn't have to be
big.
It can be the size of a mustard seed.
It can just be the size of a mustard seed. And that can move mountains. So it doesn't have to be something so grand. It only takes a small kernel of faith to produce a tremendous thing. That's fantastic, isn't it? Anything else? Steve?
Faith is a confidence of what we hope for will actually happen.
Ah, yeah, it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. All right? We don't have to see something to have faith for something. But the reason for that is not just blind. It's because there's evidence. There's evidence in who God is and what He's already said, right? There's evidence there. There's evidence that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It isn't that we just believe it. We believe it because there's evidence that we can see in the lives of the apostles whose whole life was transformed from scared little rabbits running away to boldly going in and proclaiming the risen Christ. That doesn't just happen. They weren't going to just do that without having seen the risen Christ, right? I mean, that's one of the pieces of evidence that we can see. You know, anything else? This is good. And I love this because I believe that we are people of the Word. We took this for the name of our gathering here, the Word of God Christian Church, because we believe that the Word is very important. The Word of God is very important to us, right? It should be at the center of who we are. Anything else about faith?
Faith brings peace.
Faith's going to bring peace, okay? Anything else?
Without faith, you can't please God.
Without faith, you can't please God. Mm-hmm. Now, that should catch all of our attention. If we're not people of faith, if we're just people that just kind of walk through life and just live by do's and don'ts and don't have that caring relationship, I mean, we're not going to please God. We're just in some kind of religious form. All right, something else. Anything else?
Faith doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter, you know, how things are going. That you believe that something good is going to come out of it.
Yeah. Because you have an evidence that God is there for you. Is that right? You can trust God because of what He's already done. You can trust God for what He did 2,000 years ago on the cross. That should give us enough trust, enough confidence, right? There's one other thing that I wanted to mention I haven't heard yet. And that deals with the battle that we're in, okay? I mean, we did. It was read by Kelly about the shield of faith. It says in James that faith is the, what is it? Victory that overcomes the world.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
All of these things that we've got to face that are coming up that we're not going to be able to avoid, all of those kinds of things, the only way that we're going to be victorious and not depressed, not defeated, not fearful is going to be because we're standing in faith, isn't it? And that's what I think the Lord wants to talk to us today about, is having this complete faith. So let's look at complete faith. I've left one thing out about faith that is the heart of the message, so I didn't want to say that right off the top. So there is one other thing that we are going to get to. Several of the scriptures that I had here at the beginning have already been mentioned. One of them being what Steve said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Elaine mentioned about that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. Alright, and that's going to be a real center point of what we're going to be talking about. Okay, so I want to read to you something that D.L. Moody said. Everybody know who D.L. Moody is? You guys? Yep. Back a century or so ago. He said this. This I thought was very interesting. I prayed for faith and thought someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith didn't seem to come. One day, I read in the 10th chapter of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Before reading that, I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible to study, and faith has been growing ever since. Now, isn't that... See, this is at the heart of us hearing and believing, right? Hearing comes by the Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to feed us. Do you know what was said about, Melinda said it, about there's shaking going on. You know, sometimes we can look at what's going on in the world and go, why is all these things happening? Well, the Word instructs us. Right? The Word says, no, I'm shaking everything that can be shaken. So that it shouldn't hit us too hard. And you know what? And now we have faith, we have understanding, we have trust that God is still, no matter what's falling apart around us, God's still in control. through the stars out into the universe. He who is the Almighty God has everything under control. Shouldn't that give us some kind of a, thank God. You know, it's a reassurance, isn't it? We can really be reassured. And yet, you know, then we get out into all the mix of the world and we see all this. I was just like you, Sylvia. I was just so hurt for our country with all these things that have happened this past week. I was hurting and hurting. And good thing that God reminds us by what is in His Word, yeah, to strengthen us so that we have the victory over those thoughts that, as Reg was saying, that would try to come and create just a negative aspect to life, or a give up, or we can't, the impossible can't happen. There's lots of things that can happen, yes, with people of faith. Do you think?
Yes.
No. Do you think that that we, as people of faith, can change things?
Yes.
That's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? And yet we can get so overwhelmed and beaten down, right, that we forget, and we need the reminder of the Word of God to get us back. That's right. God said that there was going to be a shaking of anything that can be shaken. But I have received something that can't be shaken. I have the Word of God in me. I have Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ in me. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Now see what this does. See what knowing some Scripture and reading it and having it come alive to us can do and break the spell that the enemy has. The enemy weaves this little spell over us. And if he can get you with depression, he'll get you into depression. If he can move you in some other kind of, with fear, he's going to do whatever he can. He knows our weaknesses and he goes after them. God knows those, and He gives us His Word to get us up out away from them. So we don't identify with them, but we identify with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, I'm psyched.
Yes.
All right. So I want us to get to the heart of what I want to say here. James, the book of James, if you would go to that, please, and go to James chapter 1. Verse 22. James 1, 22. This is important. And I think this is what the Lord is specifically saying. Now remember that when we talk about where it says in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I have mentioned this numbers of times. There's two words for Word of God. One is Logos, and that's the written Word. And then out of this written Word, God has something very specific for you and I right now, in the moment. The in the moment Word of God is the Rhema Word. Okay? Now, I think that what we're talking about here, it's the Logos here, but for us right now, I believe that this is the Rhema for us. This is what it says in James chapter 1, verse 22 and 3. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, we think that if we just hear something, I hear a message, oh wow, great, I know something more than I knew before. But until that word is acted upon in our lives, it doesn't have a lot of efficacy, does it? It doesn't have a lot of meaning, it doesn't have a lot of power if we're not acting on hearing and doing. Right? It says, be doers of the word, not just hearers, because you're deceiving yourself. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, and he beholds himself and goes his way and straightforward forgets what manner of man was. You forget. You don't put it in practice. You don't put things into practice. God tells you to reach out to somebody, and you go, later on. I'll do that later. You know? Act. We have to act. God's going to be, I think, this week coming up, God's going to be saying something to you. You're going to hear it, either something that you read or you're going to hear some specific method of action for you to take, and he's going to expect you to do it. Yeah, there he is.
Malcolm, we have to watch that we don't procrastinate. Right. It's a very natural thing.
It's very natural.
When you hear that voice, you have to act upon it immediately because the enemy wants you to procrastinate.
Yeah.
But the time is now.
Yeah, the time is, God's time is now. It's really important. You see, we need to know what the scriptures say. You know? And I'm praying that we're gaining on that in our own private lives, that we're reading the Bible fairly steadily. Right? Because you don't know what the Bible says. You don't know what God says about things. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you don't know those things, you're not going to know. If you never had heard or read that God is going to shake anything that can be shaken, boom! You don't have any faith, do you?
You don't have understanding for that, because you'll see others say, "Well, how can God do?
How can God do this?
How can He allow this?"
Yes, well,
because they don't know any different.
No,
they don't understand that God.
That's right.
Do this and will allow this.
Exactly, and in fact, let me go to something else. I'm going to come back to what you just said. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Even so, faith, if it does not have in the King James it says works, faith without works is dead, being alone." Now, I really believe that a good way to say this is this. Even so, faith, if there is no action on it, is dead, being alone. You have to mix what you hear, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. When you hear something, then you need to act on it. Otherwise, your faith is dead. Your faith is ineffective. In other words, it doesn't mean you don't have any, and lots of people want to interpret it that way. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith, it just means that it's inactive. It's there, but it's not doing anything. Yeah? You understand that? So, and then if you jump down to verse 22, this is the scripture that goes with what I am titling the message here. Verse 22 says this: "See you how faith is wrought with works, and by works was faith made what?
Perfect."
See, perfect faith requires action. You want perfect faith? Then you need to be acting on the things that you hear, that you read, and pop out of you from the scripture, and you go, "Oh, I think that's for me today." Does that ever happen to you? You ever feel moved on to do something for somebody, pray, or and then you don't do it? Faith without works is dead. God spoke something into your mind, or you read something in the scripture, and you go, you have that sense, "Oh, I think this is for me today." You know? Then that's rhema. That's that rhema. that Romans 10 is talking about. And then now it's, there's a requirement, if you want that faith to be alive in you and to grow in you, is to act on these things. Yeah. How about that?
I'm going to be talking about a particular man here in just a minute. One of the things that I wrote down was,
you know, when we read in the scripture, knowing what how God feels about something should help us to know how we should feel about something, right? There's a scripture. I'll say it this way first. Knowing what the scripture says about any kind of circumstance helps us to discern what is true. Would you say that?
Yes.
So, and the more that you engage yourself in the scripture and allow the scripture to come alive to you and pray for that to happen, and then you act on those things, you're being exercised in the scriptures. Would you agree with that? You're being exercised in it, right? Now,
there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 5. It's the last verse in chapter 5. Last two verses. I'll go up to 12. It says this: "For when the time came that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again about the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need milk and not strong meat." Now, I don't believe this about us. I believe that we're all ready for we're ready for the meat of the word, not the milk of the word. All right? And Hebrews 5, I'm going to do 12, 13, and 14. Sorry. And then verse 13 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe." But then verse 14 says this: "But strong meat belongs to them that are of a mature age, even those by reason of what?
Use."
By reason of use, you're acting, you're doing something. And if we're not doing that, we're not exercising our senses to discern both good and evil. And that's why we don't know sometimes. We can't discern because we're not putting into practice what God's given us for today. And then when tomorrow comes or next month comes along and some crisis happens, and we're going to go, "God, what's God speaking? I don't know what's he want me to do?" You don't want to get in that condition, do you? Neither do I. And so there's this thing where it's us allowing God to speak. It's not a hard thing to do. You know, God takes us step by step. He doesn't expect us to go from just moving into some type of discernment to go to the master discerner. You get that? He takes us step by step as we need to. He takes us where we are, and as we're willing vessels, then he's gonna bring us to understanding things better. Discerning things, discerning what is evil and what is not, discerning when to make a particular decision, and maybe it isn't quite that you're going to do that, but it's not the time yet or whatever. You getting this? This is meat.
Yeah.
You're getting meat right now. Okay? I hope that I have a steak dinner and after it's over, if I sit down on the couch, yeah. So we don't want us going to sleep on this, right?
It's like meat you have to chew on.
You've got to chew, and that's another. Let's see, is this coming up? You got to chew. Wait a minute, let me see. Oh yes, okay. So we're going to go to Psalm 119. You guys still with me? Why don't you stand up? Everybody stand up. Stand up, please. Okay, well, you don't.
How are you left
No, I'm not going to have you do that.
Okay?
Stretch out, get the blood flowing again.
Do you think that even right now, in this place, that the enemy would try to get your mind off someplace else? Oh yeah. Right here in the midst of church. This building is not holy.
That's right.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, that's right.
This, where I'm at, is not holy. You know what's holy? Right in here. Right there. And right there. That's what's holy. And you can still, even with the Spirit of Christ, you can have thoughts come to your mind to distract you, to still kind of make you go, come on, hurry up. I got things to do. I'm not going to hurry up. How's that? Okay, you guys can sit down now. I'm gonna read you this. I know you know this. That's why I had you stand up, because I don't want you to fall asleep there. Not that you're any of you are. Psalm 119, it's verse 97. It says, "How I love your law. It is my meditation all day." Oh, yeah. Not only are we to read the Word of God, we should think about it. We should see how it applies to us. We should ask questions to God. Well, what does that mean? Is there something that goes beyond what I already know about this Lord? Do you guys do that when you're reading the Word? You know? You should, right?
Yeah.
I believe it. We're a mature group of Christians here, and you already know this. All right? But this is really important for you and I, that when we read the Word of God, we just don't read over it. Okay, I did my duty. I read for 20 minutes, and now I can go to the rest of the day. No, we need to think about it. And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't need to be compartmentalized. It isn't like, okay, I start off the day and I read some scripture, and now I'm going to meditate. No, you can read the scripture and go be doing other things and be asking God about things. Asking God about that scripture. You can grab in and grab a 30-second shot of God's love. You guys know that song?
No.
No. Oh, you know that?
Yes, I'm great.
And then verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Boy, is that the truth. Mm. He keeps us on the straight and narrow. He doesn't allow us to go off the path. But we need to be reading His word, don't we? And we need to be praying to Him so that we're catching what He's saying. And I don't know how much that's going on, you know, in the church at large. I believe that it's happening here, and I think God wants to encourage us to keep going. Keep doing what you're doing and keep going better. Right? Yes, Rachel.
Someone is even better. A man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
And in his law does he meditate
day and night.
So he, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings fruit in his season, his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
I love that. Love that scripture. Hallelujah. Everybody catch that? That's these are all things that you can, that can now, you know, come up into your memory, can come up and God will give this. If you've invested in it, you get a return from your investing into His Word. You know that. He will bring up things that you've invested in. If you're not reading this, He's not going to just say to you, well, He can if He wants to, and He probably has to numbers of people. But most of the time, you're going to remember something that you've read. You're not going to remember something that you haven't read. Has that ever happened? Okay, so I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah. Now, I'm telling you ahead of time because it will take you a while to find it, right?
Everybody know where Nehemiah is? It's two books before Job, which is a book before Psalms. Okay, so it's pretty close.
Book of Nehemiah.
Let's keep the mind exercised, you know, keep that spiritual blood flowing. Don't nod off, stay with the word here.
Not lucid, but wandering around in the dark can be scary and frustrating. Do you ever feel like you're wandering in life, not sure which way to go? Learn God's word, it is the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. God promises to use his word to instruct you in the way you are to go.
Hallelujah. Okay. I mentioned the book of Nehemiah, right? So you got there, you're in chapter 1 right now?
No, okay. We're in Nehemiah, but nowhere.
All right, yeah. Which would be Nehemiah 1 for right now? All right. Anybody know who Nehemiah was?
The son of...
Got it right there. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anything else that you know about him? All right. He was in the captivity, right? The Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Jerusalem, taken the Jews, most of the Jews, left a few back there, took most of the Jews into Babylon, and then the Persians overtook the Babylonians numbers of years later, and then the Persians were in control. Nehemiah was one of the captives, Jewish captives, that was in the Persian Empire. And he ended up, coming through the ranks. Artaxerxes, Persian king, said, I want him to be my cupbearer. Okay? So he was the cupbearer. Not a great profession. Because he had to sip the king's wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned.
So he'd die first.
So he would die, yeah. So he was the cupbearer, but had come to be very respected by Artaxerxes through the years that he did that. So the first chapter deals with finding Nehemiah, asking and finding out. Now, this is a little history, so don't, you know. Stay focused. So Nehemiah finds out that the Jews that have been left back in destroyed Israel are being treated badly. The Jerusalem hasn't been rebuilt. Things are still pretty poor. And it says in the first few verses that he sits down and weeps for Jerusalem. He has a passion for his people, for a passion for Jerusalem, for his homeland. He wants to get back there. And so it says in this first chapter that he fasts and prays. I forget if it says how many. No, just a certain number of days. It doesn't give the amount. He fasts and he prays. What do you think is going on during the fasting and praying? What do you think is happening to Nehemiah? Don't try to look here. What would you guess? He's going to hear from the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, right? So one way that you hear from God is you pray. You're a prayer person. You pray to Him. You pour out your heart to Him. So he's pouring out his heart to God, and he must have gotten something back. Because he ends up going to, let me just read that. I wasn't planning on reading this, but I'm going to. The last verse in chapter 1, I think it's verse 11, and it says, and here's him praying to God. And he says, O Lord, I beseech you, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, meaning him, right? And to the prayer of thy servants, meaning the rest of the Jews. Who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray you, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man,
Who's he talking about? What do you mean, this man?
Artaxerxes.
Artaxerxes, the king. So while he was praying, a thought came into his mind that he should go and talk to Artaxerxes about Jerusalem. Isn't that obvious from the context? And now, he's at the end of his prayer, he's asking God, God, please go before me so that I find favor in the sight of the king. So when it says this man in verse 11, he's talking about him going before Artaxerxes. He's already come to the point through his fasting and prayer where he's got a word from God. Isn't that something? Do you know when you get a word from God? You know? You and I need to develop that. You know how we're going to get that? Through the use of our senses to discern what's of God and what isn't of God, isn't it? And where does that come from? From hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You know, the more you give to this and listening to God, you understand who God is more. And when you're praying to Him, you're going to hear things back. And then you can start to act on those. And when you do, you now are now moving out, you're stepping out in faith. Go ahead.
And when you pray to God, He tells you what to pray for.
Yes.
Don't you really know Him?
Yeah. You think it's your thoughts, but it's Him telling you how to feel and what to pray for. Yeah, yeah. He helps us. He guides us along. It's really cool.
Malcolm?
Yeah.
Is that the Artaxerxes of Esther?
That is the Artaxerxes of Esther.
Okay, so God, the whole Haman thing and the whole
Haman and Mordecai.
That happened and then
all right around, right just before this.
So then Artaxerxes was, his heart was towards.
Yes, exactly. God works all those things out. Because Esther was in the palace when Nehemiah went to the king and was asking to go back to Jerusalem. See how all those things, it's so neat. Isn't it so neat?
I just love it. So, that's what's happening in chapter 1. Now, I want to say, before we get into some of the rest of what I want to say out of this, lots of times when you hear something from God, and like all the doors open at the right time, and things just kind of go pop, 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 you go, man, that's God. That has to be God, because look how, this is what I wanted, I didn't think it was going to happen, and boom, 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 all these things start happening, and man, that's God. How many of you have experienced that, right? You've experienced that. And don't we like it when it's that way? Because we're very sure about that. That's God opening some doors, right? Is that the only way that God works in a situation? You know, there's times where God allows for us to have to face opposition, to see if we will stand true in faith and continue to do as God wants us to do. God does do that to us. Even amongst the things of the church, you know, we have to, if you've heard something from the Lord, then you should do it. You should be obedient, right? No matter if somebody else said, no, you're not supposed to do that. Right? You find where you're supposed to fit in. Okay. That's that. Alright, let me go to Nehemiah chapter 4. I'll try to move through this. I've been basking in the book of Nehemiah for a week. So, I mean, it's like, why are you leading me to Nehemiah, Lord? I've never really had that much of an affinity with that book, but he's made it that way for me here. So it says in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is all about this opposition that, you know, here's Nehemiah, he gets the king to grant him all these things, and he goes off, and he gets there, and I don't know if he was expecting everything just to fall in place, like we do a lot.
We just expect everything to fall. If it's God, everything will fall into place. Well, that is true, but not necessarily true, right? Sometimes God allows for us to have opposition so that we will press in to what he said, right?
So it goes on. And I don't think I'm going to read all kinds of verses here, but you know, there's mocking the Arabians and the different Ammonites that were there when Nehemiah gets there, the non-Jews that were there mocked. Oh, yeah, you're going to build a wall and a fox is going to come along and knock it down. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to do the things that we need to do here at the end of the age. We don't have the strength. We can't do anything here at the end. Do you think that those are Sanballat and Tobiah kind of words that are coming at our heads? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There's lots of things that we can do that we short circuit ourselves with because we don't think it can happen. And that's a mocking spirit, that if God is saying something and telling us to go in a particular direction, we have all kinds of ideas why it can't be done. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I thought this was kind of neat. In Nehemiah chapter 4, let's look at verse 9 for a minute. It says, even after all these mockings and situations, Nehemiah says, nevertheless, even with all the stuff that they're throwing up against us, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So, they pray. But there's a word "and" in there. Did they only pray? No, they prayed. Here were these guys threatening that they're going to ambush them while they're working. And so they prayed to God. But they didn't stop there. They went and got themselves armed and ready for what could happen. You know, sometimes the Christian world, if you pray to God and you do something, you don't have faith. You don't have enough faith. Just trust God. And yet God can say, because of your hearing, your faith, arm yourselves. Like in this case, right? You get this?
Yes.
It's not less faith. It all depends on what God said.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
So, I just find it really great. We made our prayers unto God, and we set a watch against them. Now, let me ask you this. If you pray, you're driving down the road, and you're praying to the Lord, Lord, protect me as I'm driving down the road. Now, absolve me from obeying the traffic laws? Well, God's going to protect me. I'm going to drive right through that red light. Because God's going to protect me. I have faith that if I pray that God is going to protect me, he's going to protect me. You know what? I don't think I'm going to keep my eyes open. I pray God's going to protect me. How long do you think you're going to go? I mean, unless you know a road just like that, and sometimes I think I could probably drive up to this church with my eyes closed, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Would any of you? Even if you would send the cops.
Huh? Yeah. Really? I mean, do you understand what this illustration is for? Praying to God does not absolve us from hearing the particulars that God would say. And God doesn't have to say, keep your eyes open now. Does he? What am I using then? Huh? I'm using what? Common sense. It's called
reason, isn't it? You're using logic. You're using your reason. You don't have to hear something, Malcolm, drive with your eyes open. I don't have to hear that to drive with my eyes open, do I? Right? You know, what, Joe?
I've seen you drive with your eyes open.
You've never seen
it. We've heard about it.
Be quiet.
That's what they make cruise control for.
All right, but the point is made, I hope, that you see we're to use our reason. We're to follow through as God opens certain doors. We use our reason. We talk to God. We commit things unto God, and then we move accordingly. Right? If it's not the right, if it's not God in the midst of that, He will redirect us if we're trying to hear, won't we? Oh, well, I kind of missed that. We need to be doing this instead of that type of thing. Yeah.
Would that be protecting the Lord your God?
Yeah. Well, I would think so. That's right. That's a good point to make. That's kind of tempting God. All right, God, I believe you're gonna take good care of me. I'm gonna close my eyes now because I don't need to be watching what I'm doing because you're gonna take care of me. I know that's tempting God. You know, that's testing God.
That's why He gave you eyes.
That's right. He gave us a brain. He gave us eyes. You know. Yeah.
When you pray, you have to look for your answers. And when you pray, because I know when I pray, when I'm driving, please protect me. He makes me more aware of what's around me. Right. But I don't see that thing that comes out from the side or whatever. He gets me home safely. But when you pray, you got to look for your answers.
Yeah, you got to stay awake for the answers. If the thoughts come into our minds or God opens a door and you go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, God's answer is next, yes. Right? I want to finish this with throughout all of what happened there, with all of the opposition, and the men had to work with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, right? You know how long it took them to build the walls of Jerusalem that way? 52 days. That's it. Not even 2 months. They built the wall, all of the walls around Jerusalem. That's pretty darn good. You know, those walls were built pretty high. And they went all the way around the whole city of Jerusalem. And at the end of it, Nehemiah says, you know, the city is large, but the people are few. I mean, they didn't really have a lot of them. And the people that were living outside of Jerusalem, they started coming in because now they had a walled city. By the end of it, there were about 50,000 people that were living in Jerusalem, Jews that were living in Jerusalem after Nehemiah had built the wall. Because there was that many people out around it. Isn't that something? I just found that interesting. Now, I wanted to say this, and this is how I want us to really see things and have the faith for things. So this is Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm going to end with these two verses. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16 says this. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. It says it right there. It took them 52 days to build the wall. And earlier it says they were able to build this because the people had a mind to work. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard about this, and all the heathen that were round about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought from God. Hallelujah.
There are things that are going to be happening in the days, weeks, months, years ahead that because of us having a perfect faith, a faith that not only hears but does, a faith that is not afraid of mocking and adversity and opposition, but move according to what you hear God wants you to do. That they're going to say, surely God is among men. Amen. To the glory of God. It's going to happen. Like it did for Nehemiah and the Jews at that time, the same is going to be true of us. Hallelujah.
So Lord, we desire to have a perfect faith, a faith that's complete, complete because we follow through on what we hear, a faith that comes by hearing and by hearing from the Word of God, Lord, that we come to discern your voice in your written Word, and this will help us to discern your voice when you speak to us in personal ways. Help us, Lord, that we become a greater people of faith. For faith is the victory that overcomes the world. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Hallelujah. What we've been talking about, listen to the words.
His throne.